Here we go.
I could be happy as a sardine in a can, long as I got my loyal fans. I could run stark naked living in an old oak tree, long as I got my friends with me. On a ramble cast, on a ramble cast, on a ramble cast.
That's impressive.
You know, every time we talk to Jay, he bashes our intro with you. Every time.
Really? Yeah. Every time? What's he say?
He just complains.
Of course. I think he said that you can't play guitar.
So. I'm not playing guitar, so it's fine.
Yeah. But I said, well, at least he shows up.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Jay's just mad because he ran out of material, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And, he was just lazy.
Well, you would too if you had to podcast with Jack every day.
Why? Well, I'm the one with the bad back from carrying him all those years.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Okay.
With him just sitting there going, uh huh. Oh wait, that was a fringe podcast. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, he did throw his back out for that one.
That was Jay, fringe podcast.
I am so fucking happy that we're back.
Oh, but by the way, this is the RCAD, so we can't swear, we can't cuss, and all that stuff.
Hell yeah!
I had to drop the F-bomb. I mean, you know, if we're going to be able to be in an After Dark podcast, we got to be able to let our freak flags fly, right?
And we do have an email. Is anyone getting an echo?
No.
Okay. Then I won't worry about it.
It's all you.
Okay.
It's all me.
It's all in your head. That's the ramble.
Anyway, I'm a little tired today. A little tired. My oldest daughter had a baby about 3 months ago, and we've agreed to watch her like 4 days a week.
Mm.
And this baby is I call her 0 to 60 because she'll be smiling and laughing, and then in 0 to 60 she's screaming at the top of her lungs. It's like, oh my God, what do you want, child? But she's my granddaughter, so I'm going to be happy. But she was pretty good today. But I think she's colic. Is that what they call it? So she
sure.
She's not agreeing with the formula. They tried different formulas, so she's very gassy.
Mm.
And so you know how it is. You know when you have bad gas and it hurts. It's painful. But man, there's some mornings like I said, I couldn't sleep last night. I woke up and she was pretty good today though.
My daughter was a little bit of a fussy baby, and you know, I just lived for those times in which I could put her down for a nap in the middle of the day. Oftentimes, listening to the Lost podcast with Jay and Jack.
Well, Jay does put people to sleep. I've heard.
Well, I would be listening to you guys, or I'd be listening to the Married Man show, and you'd make me laugh, and I'd have her just about asleep, and then I'd start laughing. And I'd wake her up, you know, in my arms, and I'd be like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, I don't want to say my daughter and son-in-law have spoiled her, but you can't put her down. So if you gently put her down in the playpen that we have, okay, we're picking you back. So literally you have to sit there and hold her while you sit there.
And now, have you tried the Ergo?
Alcohol?
Oh no!
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what my neighbor always told me. But no, the baby carrier, you know, an Ergo, where you kind of carry her around in a little papoose.
No.
No, that's what I did.
My wife kind of does that. She kind of carries her like that. But we take turns. You know, today was my day because my wife has to. We don't have her tomorrow, or we're done until next Monday. We're on parole till then.
You're on Thanksgiving break, huh?
Yeah. So she's a cutie, but man, she's got. I go, you got a temper, man. You must have got that from your grandma. I don't know what's going on.
I can't wait till my youngest nephew gets. I hope that one day when he's like in his mid-20s or something, he's like, "What was I like as a baby, Nick?" I'd be like, "You were an asshole.
You were
an asshole." Like, if he would have been my kid I would have given him up for adoption. because it just kept going. Like there was 1 month before I moved up to California. I stayed with my sister and my brother-in-law, and he was three years old at the time. Every night, like at 2 a.m. on the dot, just daddy, 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 and just never stopped.
Yeah, they do not stop.
Until his dad had to get up every night and go into that room. And I was just like, no, I would have snapped. I mean, I just would have, I don't care.
and then we have a Yorkie who's about 16, and he's jealous of the baby. So he just walks back and forth across our floors. It's just insane. for hours, I'm like going, okay, I'm tired. I go, you need to stop now. Stop. And he just looks at me like, fuck you. He just keeps walking around. And then you put the baby down, he stops. But he's all stressed out that he's not getting the attention.
So maybe you should carry the dog around in a little.
No, I hate to say it. I'm counting down the days on all these animals. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, of course. I'm kidding. But
I know what you mean, though. My dog is getting up there, and I love him dearly, but he's I think he's got like doggy Alzheimer's. Is that a thing?
I think it is, because our dog sometimes doesn't know where it's at.
Yeah.
And he can't leave your, like, he's always under my feet now. And I go, dude, mm-hmm. I'm old too. You can't get under my feet. I'm gonna break a hip here and be really mad. But I don't think he can see as well either. So I think he just feels like right now I can't lock the door. I'm the only one in the house, so I can't. I have him here recording, but he's sitting there. And he sits on the cords. He'll sit right on the power cord. I go, why do you sit on the cords? So that's what he does. But he's quiet, so I'm not going to poke the bear.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
No.
I know what you mean about being tired. I worked 72 hours this week because of the fires. So.
Oh, that's right, man.
Yeah, it was kind of a scary thing, because I don't know what it is. No matter how old you get, you always think there's going to be someone older and wiser and more responsible for an emergency situation than you. But when you get there, it's just a bunch of older guys that get paid a lot that just sit there and expect you to do everything. And it's kind of scary when you're making big level decisions and you've only been in the company for 2 years, or 2.5 years. And then you've got these engineers that are working with you that have been there like 6 months, and they're looking at you like you know everything. I'm like, I don't know shit.
I was hoping those old guys would know something.
Yeah, well, that's what makes you mad, is because you know they're the ones that are making $500,000, $1 million a year, and they're not doing anything. They're just sitting there watching TV, and then they come up to you every now and then, like, "Oh, do you have that done?"
Oh, so they were making you do the raking.
They made me rake the leaves, you know, and I was like, look, I'm only one man. I'm trying to prevent the forest fire. But, you know.
Isn't that Smokey Bear's job?
Yeah, exactly.
It's sad. I mean, it's just, we had a lady, our neighbor across the street, she only talks to us when she wants something. I'm just going to say that out. But I haven't spoken to her in like six, I can't remember the last time I talked to her. I mean, I've waved to her like, and you know, we're busy. We're going back and forth and stuff like that. But I told my wife, I go, I'll put up the Christmas lights this year, but it's going to be at a slow pace because I just can't. My back is killing me. I can't do it. So, but now we have Thanksgiving decorations, Halloween decorations, and Christmas decorations all up at once so far.
Nice. That's nice.
She goes, I go, I'll get that. But I have to get a ladder to get that down. I have to get this. I go, it'll all be done. Just leave me alone. But she comes over and she's talking to you. I could never live in California with all those fires. And, you know, even if you paid me $1 million, I go, well, that wouldn't even get you in the neighborhood.
No.
I go, you wouldn't be. She goes, what? I go, those houses are $4 to $5 million, $6 million. I go, that's some expensive real estate that's burning. And it's burning everywhere, but it's just like, it's crazy. And
yeah, the houses.
And sad too, just how many people are affected, just even by the smoke, you know.
Yeah. So and they say there's 1,300 people missing. It just
Yeah, but that's the Northern Fire. Yeah.
Is that the Northern Fire? I mean, I'm just trying to keep track of it out here, but it's like, it's crazy. And people say, oh, no, San Diego doesn't have any fires going on right now that I know of. No. But yeah, I've always said, though, I see some of these houses with the brush all the way up to their fence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this thing called pickleweed. We call it pickleweed out there. It could be mm-hmm. ice plant. It literally grows as a weed. I would literally mm-hmm. take all that brush, clear it out, and it would be a fire break. Now I get to somebody in Santa Ana, the fire is going to jump over, but I see these houses, all of them have just dried brush all the way up to their house. And I go, you got a $500 million home there. I'm exaggerating there, but I go, why don't you, it's just a weed. I used to get in trouble because when I was a kid, I'd forget to take off my school clothes and we'd slide down it. And back then they had no chemicals to take it out. So it was a beating, but you learn after the third or fourth try, I go, oh crap, I shouldn't have done that. Cause you'd get the pickleweed stains and it doesn't come out. It's you have to literally, I mean, I don't know about today because we don't have it out here because people look at me like I'm crazy. What's a pickleweed? Of course, Nick got hungry when he heard pickle.
Exactly.
But
what's a movie pickle?
Now, I know they can't do that in the forest, but these homes, I mean, some of them, if you watch the helicopters going over, it's just, I go, build yourself a, I mean, I saw one house they were taking buckets out of the pool, water out of the pool and throwing it on the fire.
Right, right.
Because the brush was all the way up there. I go, I think it should be mandatory that they get also, the pickleweed and put it up there.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the drought that's been going on for the last 6 years. You know, I mean, this is, you know, we're seeing the effects of the drought. You know?
Well, I get that. I'm not saying that the whole you're not going to stop the fire, but if I have a house there, I'm having that ice plant everywhere. It pretty much because my mom has ice plant in her backyard. She doesn't water it, and it's green, and it's San Diego. Yeah. I think they've had 5 inches of rain this year.
It's a succulent.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, do something to try and prevent, to at least try and protect your house.
Well, it's just because they're embers. You know, they just the wind gets up, and they all it takes is one little thing.
I get it.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, we all have friends out there, except for Nick, and you know, we're very concerned about all of them, mainly Shandy. But you know, if there's any other friends that podcast with us,
we have a lot of listeners out there.
We do, but no, I'm seriously though, Nick. I'm glad you're okay.
No, I got you.
Well, he's okay. He's surrounded by concrete.
Yeah, it's true.
He's in downtown LA. I don't think there's a plant, or a tree or anything. There's nothing that's going to burn there.
It is interesting. When you start getting towards Hollywood, you start seeing some trees. You're like, whoa! I forgot what they look like.
I know the last time I was out in California, it amazes me now. Because I don't know what's them out here, and everything's unless we have a drought. It's pretty green out here. I mean, everything's green. You go to California, you go, oh, that's right. This is a desert.
Yeah. It's the desert. People don't realize that LA is in the desert.
San Diego's a desert.
Yeah, exactly.
Technically, it's a desert. It wasn't made for that many people to live there.
No.
Well, the other thing I wanted to mention was we are down a man, Chris. I know we kind of poked fun of him maybe on the last podcast for being here, not being here. Maybe that was the one before it. I don't know. They all kind of run together.
No, I think we picked on him every podcast.
Okay. But he wanted to be here. He wanted to make this podcast happen, but he is in a bad situation as far as, not bad, but he's just kind of, I mean, it's a very stressful situation, especially around Thanksgiving where he's having to live out of his family is having to live out of a hotel as they're in between houses, trying to move in, and
what a nightmare! But we'll let him. Yeah. We'll let him explain it. But it's a nightmare.
I just wanted the listeners to know, like, hey, we haven't forgotten about Chris. He is still part of this show, and he definitely wanted to make this this podcast happen. But you know, living out of suitcases is never fun. And he was hopeful that they would be able to move in before Thanksgiving. And fingers crossed, man. So
yeah, it's just
And also he's trying to keep his 4-month pregnant wife.
Yeah, I was going to say
and calm.
I go, yeah, your wife is pregnant. Your daughter is 6, right? That's a combination for that's a nightmare.
And apparently he packed up his Mentos. So
yeah, so the moving company has them, or I should say had them.
Yeah, you know they're playing with that Xbox, and you know you never hide the Mentos in the Xbox with the Xbox. I mean, come on,
that's rookie mistake,
rookie mistake. Yeah, I was gonna ask Nick because you had a big game there in LA yesterday, Monday night game.
I didn't watch it. I know who won.
Yeah. Now I know a lot of people are saying best game ever, most exciting game ever. Now I don't have the cable anymore. We cut it up, but I was watching it through Gamecast on ESPN, and then they would show the highlight afterwards. It was an exciting game. It was 54-51.
Right.
Yeah.
Final
105 points. Yeah.
105 Jeez. Points. Now when you woke up today, because the Chargers also play in Los Angeles, so. Who? When you're walking around town, was it because there's a fight for LA? Was it all about the Chargers or the Rams?
I have never heard anyone in the entire time I've lived here ever talk about the Chargers.
Because the Chargers were 7-2 going into the Sunday game. Their Sunday game, they're playing Denver, who was 3-6 or 3-7, I think.
Mm-hmm. 3-7. Boy, you would have lived for the day.
So they show StubHub. I found the game on the internet. They showed StubHub is where they play, and it was a sea of orange. And I guess there were only 18,000 people there. Again, did I mention the Chargers going into the game were 7-2?
Yeah.
7-2. And I, because Twitter, you got the Charger fans are up in L.A. They try to bash the San Diego fans. I go, look. Fuck it. Okay, we're fair weather. I go, but at least we supported the team when they were winning. You don't even show up. So fuck off. So that's all I gotta say. But what I want to say about this Monday night game, where the NFL is going is for just no defense, high scoring. Do you think this will get? I mean, this is exciting. 104 points, but when everyone's scoring 50 points a game, when will that get? All right, this is not fun anymore.
Well, I mean, that's the thing in college, which is what I, you know, watch, is that, you know, the Pac-12, which was the Pac-10 when that was really going on, that's what you'd always see with Oregon, you know, versus, you know, Stanford or UCLA or whoever. Like, you'd always see those just – that's all it is all offense, zero defense, just passing game. Whereas in the SEC, which is what I grew up watching, is all – well, it's starting to get more towards passing now, but – it was all power eye, you know, wing tee, offense, and strong defense. You had to play both sides of the field, and that's why you always saw just, you know, 21-14 or 28-17 type games, and that's all there was. So it just depends on what kind of games you like. Yeah, the high scoring ones are more entertaining for sure.
But will they be in a 10 years from now when the scores are 65-75? Will that still be entertaining?
I don't think it's entertaining at all because that just shows that you're only one side of the ball and it's not you're not really a good team if you're just letting people score on you and it's just a race to who gets the highest score. That's really, to me, it's not that great. Because I like watching a good defense. To me, like, if you have a good defense, that's what wins your first few games and then your offense develops over the season.
Right.
So if you're sucking ass in the first few games, it's like, well – you know, you've got some work to do.
Well, even the Colts are coming back. They're five. The Colts could make a run at this. If they went out, they'd have a. They could make the playoffs. Playoffs. Talking about playoffs. I mean, they couldn't. I know we're joking. Now remember, early on in the season, your coach is Frank Wright. He went for the win instead of going for the tie. Ended up losing against. Houston?
Yeah, it was Houston. That game made me so mad. It was crushing that game to watch. And I'll tell you, this game did not make up for it. I'm still mad about that Houston game. And that could still come back to bite us in the ass because I still say you go for the tie because it's a division rivalry. You know, I enjoyed watching this route, basically. I mean, they basically allowed them to score a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Who did they
slaughter?
They slaughtered somebody. Who was it they beat?
They slaughtered Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. Who, that's right.
Who whipped up on Chris's Patriots.
Right.
And he was actually even at that game.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm just like, okay, how does that work? How does Tennessee go from whooping up on the Patriots?
It's about matchups.
Is this what Tennessee does? You know? And then also it's because Chris could not punch an old man at the game.
Exactly.
So that's his lucky charm.
Yeah. Well,
where's that 9-year-old and kick his ass?
Yeah.
At least to go back to what you were talking about defense and talk football, because, you know, that's kind of where Jack and I cut our teeth as far as podcasters, at least for me, is that I remember watching some games back in the, you know, back when I would watch almost all of them that I could in a Sunday. I remember watching some Steelers slugging it out with the Ravens and having like a 12-9 game or like a 5-8 game or something crazy. And really kind of enjoying some of those games that were low scoring, but just a slugfest. And sometimes they were brutal because they were in the rain or they were like slow burns. But I don't know. I think it's a good balance of both. And you know,
they're already saying that if you can't score 40 points, you're not going to beat New Orleans, Kansas City, or the Rams.
Yeah,
they're going to score 40 points.
Yeah, looking at that Kansas City Rams game, I was like, shit, how's anybody going to beat these guys? You know, I mean, other than having a good defense. That's the only thing that's going to win against those teams. You got to stop them from scoring.
Every time I turned around, came back to the game, you know, the game cast, I go, did they score again? How'd they score again? What the hell's going on here? Only 3 minutes went by. There's like 3 touchdowns.
I only caught the highlights today because I was scrolling through my Apple News, and you know, and I was like, holy shit! Like what? You know, and I had to watch the highlights because I saw that it was a record breaking game, and so I was watching the highlights, and it was enjoyable, needless to say. But I don't know. I mean, the only way that you're going to beat either of those teams is going to be defense. And I kept thinking about old Russ watching that Kansas City game.
Oh, he's probably happier thinking shit though right now. 9-2.
Sure.
I forgot he was a Chiefs fan. It's funny because I was watching the Washington Houston games. It was the one channel we have, the CBS app. It's the one game I can get. And Alex Smith got sacked, and I'm like, going, and he kind of put his jersey up to his head, and I'm like going, and I go, oh, I guess he's hurt. And I walked away, came back later on. I go, why is Colt McCoy? And then Colt McCoy, a blast from the past from the old sports talk. Because if you don't know, Nick, have you ever heard the story about Colt McCoy?
Nope.
I was when he was drafted, I was on a plane with him. He was sitting in first class. I was in business class right behind him. Well, I had to pee, but I wasn't going to go all the way to the back. He went in front of me. He peed all over the toilet seat. Colt McCoy, first round draft pick, going to L.A., peed all over the toilet seat. I go, Jesus, kid, you can't just pick up the toilet seat like everybody else?
That's actually one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, I get it, you know, like.
Use your shoe.
Well, just, like, yeah, exactly. Just pick up the seat. Because, like, who has not? Every single man, that's what I don't understand. Every single man has had to take just like an emergency shit in a public toilet. And they're like, and it's like, dude, like, you've been there where you don't want to sit on that toilet because it's so fucking gross.
And there's no way to clean it up.
Yeah.
It's like you look at it, you go, and like I said, for me, it was no big deal. I just had to pee. I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to get blamed for this. I'm not going to blame fucking Colt McCoy. they're going to blame me. So I'm like going, oh, and I'm not even supposed to be in the first class toilet. I'm supposed to go all the way back.
It's the Charger fan. It's that guy.
Exactly. So I'm like going, oh, but like you said, you go in there sometimes, you go, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
You have a case of beer and just pee all over the toilet seat? What the fuck?
And not to get into gender, but you know, for guys, you lift the seat with your foot.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know how many times I've been in a situation where I don't want to touch that rim of that toilet seat. Whoever was in here before clearly had to take a dump. The seat's down. You lift the seat with your foot.
Right.
You don't know where that's been. I know this is an issue.
I've talked to women that have said that the toilet seat gets peed all over. I go,
exactly.
How's that possible?
Because they, They well, because they don't want to sit down. They just hover and then they spray. So they're never going to lift the seat. They just hover and pee. So, but at least for guys, lift the seat with your shoe, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my, that was my first rant ever on the New Dia, was lifting the toilet seat.
Yeah,
I think that, because you go to Comic Con, and I went in there one time. And I go, okay, I gotta, I gotta take a dump. There's not, what am I gonna do? I go, this one's peed all over. I go, are you kidding me? All seven toilets are peed all over. All seven? Me. You fucking geeks.
Now,
use
I know
because
Jack worked at the Iceplex, so he's had experience cleaning, I would think, cleaning public toilets. And me, when I was working at different restaurants, and especially in my fraternity days, when
I
you
had,
pledge.
I had people that could do that.
Okay, well, never mind then.
Hey, kid, go clean the toilet.
But when I cleaned the fraternity house, we had to do it twice a week. When you clean the female toilets after a big party, that's the grossest damn thing I've ever done in my life. And like, you always think like, cause you've seen, like we've all seen men's restrooms our whole lives thinking like, oh man, that's fucking gross. Women's bathrooms don't hold a candle compared to, I mean, men's don't hold a candle compared to women's.
I will say that working with the, in the public, when you go to a women's bathroom, it's like, what the fuck did, what went on in here?
Like, what are you doing? Like,
there's toilet paper all over the place. Trash can is not, is empty because all the trash is all over the place. And I'm not trying to pick on women. I'm sure all the women that listen to us are neat and clean. But in general, and because I got yelled at by a lady one time. I said, she came down and said, I go, I just cleaned that bathroom. She goes, I go, what the hell are you women doing there? Well, I bet the men's bathroom is worse. I go, no. You want to go see? I bet you it's not.
Let's
men just go in there, do their business, and leave.
And exactly.
Yeah, I guarantee there's some women out there shaking their heads and saying, yep, been there, seen that. So,
I mean, I'm not sure if Matt, Mike is like, my high school in particular, we had, you know, the facilities were built back in like the 50s or something like that. It was all open toilets, like no dividers, no doors. It was just toilet after toilet. And so, like, when you were going, you were just sitting next to somebody else going, like, What's up? You know, like, you're just there talking, like,
wow.
The weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah.
That's worse than the trough. That is worse than the trough.
I don't know if it's that's a close one. I don't know.
It's a close one. Would you rather?
I know this. The San Diego Sports Arena that used to host has the goals there. And they had no doors on the toilets. So but there'd literally be a guy with a big beard here looking at you like, are you almost done shitting so I can pee?
Yeah.
And you're like going, and you're trying to reach for the toilet paper. You're like going. And the worst
part, that was my high school. That was my high school. No doors.
You reach up there, there's no toilet paper. You go, But no, I would just hold it as long as I could, or I'd go as the game. If I had to go in emergency, I would go when the game was on. I wouldn't wait till a halftime or intermission. I go, all right, gotta go. Let me do it real quick. Get in the middle there. There's at least four things, stalls on each side. But then you'd have that one guy walk by, and they'd always stop. Even though all the other stalls were open, they'd just stop and kind of look, oh, you're taking a dump.
Yeah.
And they continue on their way. It's like, what the fuck? Just keep going.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. That's one of my bad memories. I remember that, like, 23, 24 years old, there was some bar in Nashville I was at. It was one of those that had like maybe three urinals and one toilet. And I had to go. And sure enough, it had no door. And that's what it was. Like, of course, you get exactly what you're saying, Jack. Like, a guy will like look in there and go, oh, okay. And then, like, mind his own business and wait in line in the urinal. But you always get one drunk guy that will just like walk up and just go, dude, you taking a shit? And you're like, no, man. What the fuck do you think I'm doing?
Like, I'm downloading something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And then, and the Wi-Fi here sucks, so it's gonna take a while.
It's really slow Wi-Fi. It's choppy.
But then they just stand there looking at you, and you're like, "What the hell?" Like, I'll tell you when I'm done.
I know they're next in line, and you gotta kind of. But could you not? Could you just look down and, you know, look up in the air, but no, they just stare right at you. It's like they're like staring. Cut it off, man. Cut it off. Just cut it off and go. Let's go.
That's what our listeners are doing about this conversation. They're like, cut it off. That's it. All right.
Hey, they wanted a more graphic adult type podcast.
I'm fully expecting a review from somebody going like, they literally talked about toilets and dumping for 20 solid minutes.
No, I think we're only at 10 minutes, really.
Talk about a shitty podcast. Yeah. someone had to say it. I did want to talk about something because I mentioned it to Dennis and Ed about being in the post office a couple weeks ago. I had to mail out our mortgage payment. We forgot all about it. I said, okay, it's got to be there by a certain day. So I go, okay, I'll go in there. I'll send a priority. It'll be there. So I go in there and you know the post office people. You know, they're not the most – except for people that we know.
Oh, yeah, totally. But
this post office was right where I used to – next to where I used to work at. There's like, I'm like the fifth person in line. So I'm waiting there. And there's only one woman there. And she just was a very matter-of-fact person. This lady comes in and goes, hey – just interrupts and says, hey, can I drop – this is prepaid. Can I just drop it in the thing? She goes – well, and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't even thinking. There's a line here. She goes, oh, that's okay. And so the lady's like going on and on and on. She goes, oh, but I can just drop it in there. And so the lady that was next in line, she goes, oh, yeah, you can drop that off. It's no problem if it's prepaid. And the lady goes, I'm sorry. Do you work for the post office? And we're all like, oh. And then she goes, I didn't think so. And so I go, okay. So I the lady, she goes, come up here. So then she waits on that lady that came in. So she just basically cuts in front of us. And so we're like,
So the woman at the post office is mad that she just wanted to drop off prepaid packages?
She was mad because she wanted to drop it in the box.
Oh.
And it wasn't heavy. It's a certain weight.
Well, it's got to be like 13 ounces.
Right. So it was under that. But she was mad at the lady in front of the line, the customer, who was telling the lady it was okay to drop it off when she said, let me check it first. So she goes, I'm sorry. Do you work at the post office? I didn't think so. So I'm like, woo. So she goes up front. So the lady goes, we all said, well, I guess now we know how to get in front of the line at the post office. Come in here and ask a question. She'll get pissed off and take it to the front. So then the next lady goes up. And so she's giving – the lady then goes up, still the only lady working there. So she gives her – she's just giving her – I go, oh, my God, this is uncomfortable. Because she's just very, very snotty, the lady that thought. And she goes, well, you have a blessed day. Yeah, okay. And so the lady left. So the next lady goes up there, and she stuck her – at this post office, you can't put your ATM card in or debit card until it tells you to put it in.
Oh, okay.
And so the lady goes, did you not read the prompter? She goes, I'm sorry? She goes, now I have to start all over again because you're supposed to wait and put the card in when I tell you to put the card in or when it tells you to put the card in. I go, man, this is brutal. So I'm trying to remember everything because I don't want to get yelled at. And she's just going on and on. So then finally I get up there and I'm holding my card like this. And that's fine. Yes, that's fine. Whatever easier for you. So there's some guy in line. He's talking on his cell phone. Sir, if you're going to talk on your cell phone, you need to get out of line and go in the lobby.
What the hell? Jesus, lady. Like, are you God?
So I'm like, she goes, no, you need to do that. Oh, I forgot to say, too, the lady that was in front of me, she wanted the special stamps.
Oh, no.
She's got to have this, so it's taking forever. So finally, the other guy comes up, the guy that's other clerk that's working there, but he's fiddling around at his thing, so he's not even a factor. He was 15 minutes. I'll be here in 1 second. He's organizing it. What it was is he didn't want to wait on anybody, and he was just purposely stalling. I know. He's putting all the things up. So then the ladies, I'm like, oh, my God. Nobody fucking cares. Have you ever got a card from anybody and gone, oh, I'm glad they put this stamp on there. Because then stamp on there, I'd be pissed.
Point of order, unless Matt was going to tell it first.
Go ahead.
Point of order, Matt does get the specialty stamps, particularly the John Lennon stamps, and we have had people say, I am really excited that I got the John Lennon stamps that
Thank
Matt
you.
Sent me.
Okay.
And I specifically like put special stamps. I gave JP the Elvis stamp the other week because I was like, I think you'll like the Elvis stamp.
Okay, so I'm gonna be blunt here. You're the dick that's holding up the line.
No, the special I'm not. Stamps. It's my boss. I will say this about my mail.
Well, do you order them online, or do you go into the post office to get the special stamps?
No, you go into the post office. At least my boss does. And no, you're there. You're a paying customer. You have just as every fucking right as every other fucking person that had to wait behind Jack and complain about this story. You can go up and buy the special camp.
Jack doesn't hold people back. Jack goes, okay, it's busy. I'm going to be polite to the other people behind me and just get whatever you have is fine.
There's no other way to get your John Lennon stamps.
I don't care.
Anyway. I just want to say kudos and thank you to my letter carrier who allows me to drop off my boxes when I have to. They are prepaid. I cut in line. There's a huge line.
Oh, well, no wonder you get you cut in line and then stand there and go, can I get some three John Lennon stamps?
No. That's not.
That's oh, they're way in the back. Separate. Go ahead. It doesn't matter. Fuck the people that are behind me. Fuck them.
The only time I cut in line is when I have the prepaid boxes.
The only time I cut in line, that makes it okay.
No, because actually the guy that works there wants me to do that because our post office is so small that I would actually clog up the line and make it worse if I just stood there with my prepaid boxes. I've already paid. So all I have to do is set it on the counter.
You're confusing me. So what's the difference? You standing in line and putting the package on the counter and then cutting in line. Because someone has to take those packages
I'm going to stand in line for 10 minutes just to put my boxes on the counter. Okay, I don't need a receipt. I don't need a receipt.
But when someone does that, okay, you go up and put the – someone still has to take those boxes off the counter, right?
All right, look.
So they're waiting on you and not the person who's standing in line waiting their turn patiently.
No. Look.
There is.
Okay. It's like you go to McDonald's, right? And there's three cash registers, right? Okay. One cash register is open and helping someone. There's another one that's open that's helping another one. And then they always have a third one where no one is helping anyone. And that is usually piled up full of boxes. And this time of year, when I walked in there today and there was like a line of 10 people, I'm not going to stand in line for 10 minutes. I got to be home to pick up my kid.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're the customer that has a kid. I apologize.
I forgot you're the only person
that has a kid and has to pick him up.
I go in, I drop off my boxes in a specially designed location. And you know what? The letter carrier that works behind that counter, this is old gentleman that always helps me. He says, well, he doesn't help me because he's helping other customers.
But he's not
happy that I...
He doesn't have to scan my stuff in.
The stuff is scanned in later.
What I'm saying is he stopping to get those boxes, though? Or are you just
No, he does not stop.
Okay. Oh, that's what I was asking. That's okay.
No, nobody stops. It is just a specially designed spot.
The way you were explaining it.
I don't cut in line in front of anybody that doesn't, you know.
I don't cut in front of anybody.
No. He wants me to. He actually would prefer me to do that. Anyway.
Well, as long as you're not taking, like to say, this lady came up and literally took 5 minutes of our time.
Oh, no.
When she
no,
should.
Absolutely
That's
not.
What I was saying. Okay.
No. No, that's I'm not taking anybody else's time. I drop off the boxes and he's very polite.
Because we've all seen those people that go up there and go, I have to pick my kids up. Can I move up here? Oh, you're the one with kids. I'm sorry.
No.
I forgot. This is a country that only has a family with one set of kids. So I get it. Go ahead. Your kids are far more important than my kids. Go ahead and take cuts.
Well, that day
for 15 minutes being patient. Go ahead.
But yeah. I just want to say that we even gave each other. The only thing that I said to him was, "Hey, have a happy Thanksgiving." And he's like, "Thank you, sir. You have a happy Thanksgiving too." He's helping out the other customer.
But you know what? As he said that, he got confused what he was doing and had to start all over again.
He's like, "Oh fuck! I don't know what I was doing. Jesus."
You know, as a habitual line cutter, you guys just do it wrong.
Or being polite.
Yeah, you're being polite. You gotta walk up to someone like Jack in line and be like, "Tell me about it, man. Look at this idiot. Oh man, you're a San Diego fan? Awesome!" And you start talking to him. That way, everybody behind Jack assumes you're with Jack. And then you let Jack go in front of you, and so you're behind Jack at that point.
Oh, that's so nice. You let me to go in front of the person that cut in front of me.
I'm cutting right there.
But that's fine. But I forgot.
You go in front of me. That way, you're not mad at me, and you're like, "Oh, but I've been talking to him. He's cool." And it's not affecting you. It's affecting everybody behind you. But the people behind you think I'm with you. Okay, so it's fine.
I forgot to say, though, the lady then goes to B and starts complaining to me about the guy on the phone. and the lady that couldn't use the ATM, I'm like going, I'm like, what am I going to say? I don't fucking care. But I didn't want to say anything because I need this to get there by the day it's supposed to get there. So I can't sit there and say, I don't fucking care, because what's she going to do? Oh, you don't fucking care? Well, I can't wait for Matt to come in here and drop off his 500 packages, and your little envelope will be tossed aside.
Just five. Just five.
But then she's complaining. She goes, can you believe it? I go, yeah, you know, there's people on cell phones. You know, I pretty much agree with her on that one. But then she's like, then she gets the thing and she gets out my receipts. So, you know, they cut like 100 trees. I mean, you want to stop the forest fires? Just have the post office keep doing the receipts. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, do I need a receipt this long? It's literally like 18 inches long. That would have been.
I don't even need a receipt. I drop them off. I don't need them checked in or scanned at all. I trust them.
I trust the post office. Well, that's a fucking mistake. But anyway, I have a check, and she goes right here. She goes, and here, right here, you can call up and give me a good review. I said, that number right there. I go, all right, you got it.
They do that at the pharmacy all the time too. They're like, hey, like at the bottom here is a survey of our CVS, Walgreens/whatever. Like, if you could fill it out, tell us how good we're doing. I was like, well, if you wanted me to fill this out, you'd give me a lot better pills.
Well, she didn't even say, could you? This is where you're going to. And I'm wondering if she has a way of tracking me, because I never did it. So I wonder if she has a way of tracking the next time I go in there, will she hunt me down?
No, she's way too senile for that.
I don't know.
It sounds like she's on a god complex. So,
well, she was. She controls the post office.
So, other than the post office, Jack.
Any other? Mick? Actually, I was curious. Just speaking of reviews, I wanted to hear about Matt's experience eating cheese curls.
Yes, I did post about this. I meant to actually buy another one of my cheese curls. It was at my local.
I can't fucking find them.
It was at my local Kroger, 2 for $4.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I know, right? I was like, damn.
Is Kroger sponsoring the show?
Well, they're at Kroger's and Food Lion in the South. I have not seen them yet in California.
Can I ask Matt a question? So, did you just go in there for the cheese curls, or did you go in for more items?
I was actually in there for something else, and I saw the cheese curls, and I was like, cheese curls? I gotta pick one of these up for $2.
Are you one of those people that has, like, it's a 10-item or less, and you have, like, 15 items?
No.
Do you do that because it's okay, because the guys want you to do it?
I like the self-checkout, and I only had a couple items that day. But I loved the cheese curls. I will say that the one side effect is that neon orange powder that gets everywhere.
Yeah, that's part of the experience.
I work at a paper store, right? And so I took them to work with me that day, and I'm eating them, and all of a sudden I'm like, shit, I can't touch any paper.
No.
Like, it just got all over my fingers. So then I got to the habit, like I got like maybe halfway through when I had to post about them. And then I just got to the point where I was just like kind of drinking the can.
That's what you do,
Because doesn't
the cheese dust get all over your face?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No,
really, officer, it's cheese grill dust. Really,
you just have permagrin at that point anyway. So you just have
you're just waiting to get to that bottom part with all the crumbles at the very, very end. So exactly. But no, it was delicious, and you know, I don't know if I really need cheese puffs. I know that they're a hot commodity. I loved the cheese curls. It took me back.
You mean the balls?
The balls. Yeah. What did I say?
You said puffs. I don't.
The puffs are the Cheetos version. Yeah.
Sorry,
I didn't know you were going with the puffs.
I did have a cocktail tonight, so.
Yeah. So you think the cheese curls are better than Cheetos, or?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do think that they're better than Cheetos.
Yeah,
you know.
Why don't we get a? I mean, we've been pushing these fucking cheese curls for how long?
Planters, for like six months.
I hope Planters really does just keep them, because it's shown online that there is a demand for them. I mean, people have been writing them for, 15 years to bring them back, and now they did.
I haven't written at all because I don't have to go to the post office.
Understandable.
Kroger.
What specialty stamp would you put on a letter?
Oh, nice.
If, you know.
I think maybe my hatred for stamp for people with the stamps is because I used to work on a mailbox, etc. Didn't make any money.
Oh,
in the stamp. And
yeah.
People wanted and they would get pissed when we didn't have the stamps. They go, "You do realize I'm selling these at cost." I go, "I'm losing money selling these stamps." So I go, "Well, you should carry all the stamps." I go, "I don't have money to carry all the stamps." Why? I go, "They don't give me the stamps, and then I sell them, and then take the money back to the post office. I have to buy them first."
Yeah.
Really?
My boss is the one that really actually buys them, and he specifically likes the musicians, you know. So of course, you know, I mentioned the Lennon, the Elvis, we've had Jimi Hendrix, Ray Charles. I'm trying to think of the Janis Joplin. I'm trying to think of we have them all on our wall at work. It's kind of cool cuz we've collected them.
So did you just impersonate a Dachshund to impersonate Janis Joplin? Because that's what it sounded like. I was like, what is he doing?
I'm sorry, that's pretty much what I hear when I hear Janis Joplin.
Aw, come on. Take another little piece of my heart, dude.
All right.
Anyway, and I apologize to the three Janis Joplin. I'll send you a stamp.
Those are out of print now.
Yeah, those are old.
They had the Elvis, because I think it was the Elvis stamp when it came out. Oh, my God. We opened at 9. We've been at stamps by 9:30.
Well, they had a newer Elvis stamp. So
this,
you know, this I didn't.
The, this was not. Yeah. This was the, not the no, Fried Bologna Elvis. This was
the pink one. The pink one that came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, the Vegas one. You don't have the Elvis stamp? No, I don't. Sorry. You know, if this American flag stamp will get the letter there just as fast as the Elvis stamp. I mean, it will. I'm sorry, it will.
They want to frame them and keep them. It's Elvis, man. I lost my virginity in the backseat of a car to Elvis.
Eating Tanner's cheese curls.
Yeah, I had some cheese curls. I had all my fingers, and we was licking it.
Where'd you get that orange all over your dick? That, we had some cheese curls, man. I'm sorry.
I was thinking of another body part, but sure, okay, you know. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it as clean as possible.
Yeah. What? We can't say cooch.
I'm afraid to say anything like that. I don't
know. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what the rules are today. I'm just trying to.
You don't know what the rules are.
I'm just trying to stay out of trouble best I can.
Stay clear of anything.
I'm probably already in trouble for making fun of people that cut in front of lines because you know.
And Janis Joplin.
And Janis Joplin. I've just never been a Janis Joplin fan. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
Hey. Well, take your holding company somewhere else.
I mean, I like most music, especially in the 60s, but I just was never a fan.
You got to have something against rock stars that died when they were 27, man.
Well, if I did that, I'd be against like most of them. Because didn't Hendrix die at 27 too? And
he did. Yep.
Yeah.
It's Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison. I love the Doors. So there you go. It's hard to believe Jim Morrison was
20. They are from LA, so.
Yeah. Fucking Chargers.
I know how much you like LA.
They were from Venice.
Venice.
Oh, excuse me.
Malibu. Well, Van Halen was from LA, right?
Yeah.
They were from Malibu, right? Because whose dad was it? It was David Lee Roth's dad's a dentist, right? David Lee Roth, his dad's a dentist, right? Or a doctor?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know the goddamn stamps, but you can't tell me anything about David Lee Roth.
I was not really a huge Van Halen fan.
What?
I know you were. Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything against Van Halen. I don't have him memorized. Like
why? Because they didn't die at 27.
No, because you know I'm a Van Halen, not Van Hagar kind of guy. You know, and
so. I will say that there will be a Kurt Cobain stamp before there is a.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be dead.
Spandex jumping.
You have to be dead to get a stamp.
Well, yeah, for so many years, I suppose, right?
No, you have to be. You have to be.
That's right. You do.
You have to be dead. Matt, were you planning on having a stamp made about you?
Sorry. What? No.
Sorry, Matt. You gotta wait.
I was actually just thinking about the Star Wars stamps that Nick showed us, and then I was thinking.
All right. Yeah. And they're not all dead, so there's technicality.
But that's a character, though. That's not a likeness.
Sure.
Now, don't you think? Okay, if you're gonna give someone the honor of giving them a stamp, why don't you do it when they're alive?
I think it's because it's the same as like.
It's just a fucking stamp.
You can't lick yourself. I think that's the thing.
I don't know, guy.
I could if I would.
Wasn't there a lawsuit like last year about the Liberty stamp or something like that?
What now?
Statue of Liberty stamp. Yeah, there's a statue of just the face of the Statue of Liberty. There's a lawsuit filed because the model they used for the face was not the actual Statue of Liberty. It was the one that's in Vegas.
I was going to say the model for Statue of Liberty, she's dead.
Yeah, but I
don't think she's still around.
It was something. It's something. I forget why they chose what they did. It's because like you had to pay something if you use the actual Statue of Liberty, or was it the other way around? But they used the one that was in Vegas space, which is different than the actual one that's in the real Statue of Liberty. And there's a lawsuit filed over like artist licenses and things.
Did you guys ever hear the theory that the Statue of Liberty was actually a male model?
Huh. Okay.
I've heard
Are you assuming the gender of the Statue of Liberty?
I walked down that rabbit hole tonight. But
are you saying Liberty is dead?
Yeah.
To be fair, what do they always say? Lady Liberty.
Yeah. It is Lady Liberty.
I didn't say that. I didn't walk around saying, "Hey, it's Lady Liberty." I just say it's a Statue of Liberty, which is, if you haven't been there, if you ever get to go there, go see it. It's amazing. I didn't get to go because it was closed. We couldn't go near it, but I did take pictures of it. I couldn't tell if it was a guy or not.
You actually went and stood on the island, or
we made it to the island, but we couldn't go into the statue because they were doing
renovations.
It's like everywhere I go, it's always renovations.
Mm-hmm. I've been in the lady.
Have you been in the lady?
Hey, lady,
lady, lady.
Now, okay, when you went into the lady,
she's a lady.
When you went into the lady, did you wait your turn or did you take cuts?
I don't. No. Don't bring this back to the post office. I wasn't delivering any packages.
What were you delivering?
Hey, lady. I can deliver these packages around back if you'd like.
It makes you think. You know, is she really naked underneath that toga?
Well, Matt would know, right? What is she?
She's French, by the way.
She is French.
That's for you, Jay. If you never listen.
Speaking of Lady Liberty and things that we're supposed to review, we don't need to touch down on it because I'm three episodes away from finishing The Man in the High Castle.
Fuck! It's been so long. I forgot.
Three episodes. Three episodes to go. But Lady Liberty is mentioned at least in the most recent episode that I was watching, and I was like, "Ooh,
yeah you see it. You see it in the next to last episode, I think."
Yep. Okay. Three episodes to go.
It's got a, I don't want to spoil anyone, kind of a Planet of the Apes type thing.
It does.
Well, I will say that you were right. Somewhere halfway in the show, something happens and you're like, holy fuck, what the shit just happened? Because you're like, you can't believe what happened between certain characters went down. Mm-hmm. And it comes out of the blue. You're just like, do-do-do, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
And that's how the episode ends,
We've been trying to tell you.
I know, but it was a slow going for me.
I think it was slow, but, you know, I'm a patient, but again, I'm kind of patient. I wait my turn. You're impatient. You have kids and everything like that.
I was totally in my right. And other shows that I finished in the meantime, before I finished Man in the High Castle, was Sabrina, the new Sabrina show.
Oh, okay. It's like the Teenage Witch?
Yeah. Yeah. No, the Adventures of or the something. I don't know.
Is that the girl from Mad Men?
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
It is the girl from Mad Men.
I started watching Narcos Mexico. Is that how it goes? Mexico and Narcos.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Narcos. Yeah. I will just say, if you're really hardcore Christian and you're like, oh, I cannot handle people saying Hail Satan, it might not be the show for you. But, you know, I liked it.
I'm cool with that. I just can't handle people take cuts.
You can't handle what now?
People that take cuts. I'm okay with Satan. I can't. You take cuts, you're going to piss me off. All right, we do have an email.
Well, we should get to that. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, because you got to go.
I got
to
go.
Of all the people that need to cut the show short, you know,
yeah,
Nick and I, we're ready to keep going.
Well, you guys can keep going.
I still have stuff to talk about. But yeah, so
I can leave. You guys can just – I don't know how you can shut the show off, though.
Exactly. That's fine. No,
we'll just here. Quit.
Send your hate mail to Jack.
Yeah, fuck it. I don't care. The email again is – it's rcadcast@gmail.com. Once again, what is it, Matt?
rcadcast@gmail.com.
Nick?
rcadcast@gmail.com.
There you go. All right, this one's from Maggie Mac. The title is Fuck Yeah.
Woo!
Hey, guys.
Fuck yeah!
I'm super excited you're doing an After Dark podcast. I personally love it when you fucking swear.
Woohoo!
Okay, I will say this, though. I checked the numbers between this, the last After Dark and the last Ramblecast. About the same. So we've had nothing but compliments about us going back to being a fucking obnoxious again. Mm. But let's see it. Let's see it in the downloads, people. I'm not calling you people out, but we've had no complaint. We've had no complaint so far. No one said I'm not listening to you guys anymore since you're swearing.
Except for Maggie, who's you didn't read her email.
Well, I haven't finished it yet. I'm sad they're tearing down Qualcomm Stadium. I had my 18th birthday at the Padres game there. Also, never got over the name change. It's Jack Murphy Stadium. Jack will appreciate that. I would have called in, but since you can't play fucking phone calls, you get a shitty email. And that's from Maggie. A little bit of trivia, a little bit of insight there. My dad, who never sweared, he barely cussed or he wouldn't listen to this podcast. But, the stadium was originally finished in 68. They called it San Diego Stadium. Why? It was in San Diego. And then later on, as an honor to Jack Murphy, he was a writer that helped get the Chargers to come from LA that one season they played there and get a stadium built there. Because when the Chargers first came there, they played in Balboa Stadium. And they held the AFL Championship game there in 1963. And too bad Chris isn't here, but that's when they beat the Patriots, the Boston Patriots, 51-10 to win the AFL Championship title. But Jack Murphy was a writer for the San Diego Union or Tribune. And now they're merged, but I can't remember which paper it was. But he's the reason, real big reason why, because that's when paper guys back then they had a lot of power. Well, today they don't have as much power, but back then they had a lot of power. So the city changed the name from San Diego Stadium to Jack Murphy Stadium. We just called it the Murph, but it was Jack Murphy Stadium. Well, then stadiums started getting these things where where people would pay money to get naming rights to the stadium. They'd pay big money to get the stadium.
So
San Diego didn't know what to do because they wanted to make money with naming rights for the stadium. So they put it up for an election. Should we take Jack Murphy's name off it? And stuff like that. So it was a campaign. My dad said, his family should say, stick it up your fucking ass. Take my name off there. I mean, he was so pissed because you gave him, you did the honor of naming the stadium after him. Mm-hmm. But then you're saying, fuck you. So at the end, they could have naming rights. But they made a statue of Jack Murphy's there at Qualcomm. But I don't know what they're going to do with him now when they're eventually going to tear it down to build an Aztec stadium or a future NFL stadium. But, yeah, my dad was – every time he would still – his dying days, he would bring that up. Still can't believe they fucking – if that was my dad, I would have said, take his fucking name off there. You're not using his fucking name. He was one of those people that it was very he was very strong with his convictions, and so he was pissed about that.
I see you were father like son. Yes. Really holds true.
Yeah, I don't take cuts. Fuck it. Anyway,
Is that the email?
That was the email. That was from Maggie Mac.
Oh, okay.
And we got 2 minutes. Nick, do you have a story you want to tell real quick in 2 minutes?
No.
Usually I can go forever, but I have to pick up my wife from work and she can't drive at night, so.
Oh, okay.
I got
it. Are you sure? I mean, I'm sure Nick and I can. We can just finish out this show without you, Jack.
If you want to do that, fine.
I mean, it's no big deal.
I mean, if you have a story to tell, I'd love to.
No, I don't have a story. I was just like other things we could talk about, but I can save them for next week when Chris gets back.
Well, how can you stop it?
I'll just hang up.
Is that'll stop it?
I'm sure. We've done it before.
If you guys want to go, that's fine. Nick, just to let you know, I was frustrated with the computer. I just named it RCAD1-1. So when Colleen's looking for the podcast, the episode, that's what it's going to be under.
1-1.
Okay. RC, because usually it's RC, whatever season it's in. I just said, fuck it, RCAD1, because I was pretty flustered at that point.
Royal Cola, after
dark. So anyway, if you want to keep going, I'll leave. We've only given them like 40, but don't talk about me behind my back. I'll listen.
Oh, we won't.
Fine,
sure.
Go. So I will
come back to Indiana and California. No, I won't go to LA. Who the fuck am I kidding? But I'll come to Indiana. All right, you guys good?
Yeah, we can close out the show.
Thank the patrons and all that other stuff.
Oh yeah. We got the patrons. I'm gonna definitely thank our letter carrier.
I think Ed will back me up on that one. All right, guys. Awesome.
All right.
And goodbye. And then next, we got to do one live though. We got to do a after dark.
Yeah. Sure. Next week we'll do a live show.
All right.
Sound good?
Got it. I'm out of here.
All right. Take care,
good job, guys. Thanks, guys. One in a million.
I wonder if Jack will just leave the podcast.
Here I go.
he walks like an old man. Look at him.
I can hear you.
Oh, look at the goldfish swimming in the dark.
It's I know. So beautiful. It's like kind of weird. It's like. All right.
I don't know why. I guess I thought he would hang up. I didn't realize.
I did too. Maybe he just. All right. Well, you know what would be really spooky though is if we actually saw a ghost. You know, he always talks about the ghost, you know. It's like the ghost comes on a podcast. All right, well, Nick, I was just curious, you know.
Yeah, well, like you guys are talking about shows that you were watching, and like what I had been doing recently is I've been reading a book. It's a short novel by George R. R. Martin called Night Flyers, which is a show coming out on Sci-Fi Channel, people. And it's going to be not for the kids, that's for sure. I'm only about a fourth of the way through.
See you later.
Bye. Come back.
See ya.
It is a story that's kind of right up my alley because it's sci-fi and a little bit of horror.
Okay.
I got something.
Oh man!
Because it takes place in the future when we have discovered some alien species, but they're like so far away that you know it takes time to get there. But the purpose of this mission is there's this mythological alien race that they're trying to find, and it's a pretty good story, and it's coming to Sci-Fi Channel December 2nd, I think is the date. And it's got a pretty good cast in it. I did see a 5 or 10 minute preview at Comic-Con, which got me interested in it. So I kind of wanted to read the book before the show started. But being on Sci-Fi, it makes me a little worried that it's not going to be what I want it to be.
Yeah, it's a bit dicey with Sci-Fi, right? I mean, they can hit, but I mean, have they had a great hit since Battlestar Galactica?
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, I mean, we've talked about this before somewhere that I thought they were. Like the Blood and Chrome, it was Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome, which was supposed to be about the first war when Adama was really young. The pilot is excellent, and they didn't pick it up. And I was like, how do you not pick that up? I didn't understand that. As like, because people wanted more Battlestar Galactica, and it just seemed like a bonehead move to me.
I always wanted to see what happened to Starbuck. So spoilers for Battlestar Galactica, but something happens to Starbuck, and there's a whole period of time where you don't really know what happens to her. You don't necessarily have to explain the ending or the last season, but I think that they could have done a whole, you know, because they did a couple movies. They did the movie Razor. But then, that was kind of in between seasons. But then they also had another movie that was kind of made after, which was told from the Cylon point of view.
The Plan.
The Plan, that's right. Yep.
That one was not as good, because I want to say that that was...
And I like Dean Stockwell.
Yeah, I want to say that was James Olmos's idea to do The Plan.
And really? Okay.
Because I think he directed it, and it wasn't it just wasn't there. No. Because I think that the woman that's in it is his wife, like the main actor that's in The Plan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why the actor is escaping me, but the actor that plays Colonel Ty, has we could say a cameo or an appearance in the new Sabrina TV show.
Well, he's also in the other show you just watched too.
Is he? Is he in that?
He's in a Man in High Castle. Yeah.
Really?
Okay. He's one of the resistance guys that he got caught.
I don't know why I didn't catch that. Of course, I do sometimes do work while I'm watching shows. So sometimes I'm working on stuff while I have shows on in the background. So I didn't pick up on that.
I'm not sure if you've heard the story. Now, I met him in Comic-Con 2010, I think.
Oh, really?
I saw him, and it was when it was a lot different. Before the Twilight years, when you a lot of actors and would come and you could get autographs and photos and things like that. And I walked up to him and I said, you know, I was like, hey, I was like, can I get a photo with you? And he looked at me, he's like, frack it, let's do it. You know? Like, you know? And then what was funny is I forget, it might have been Cliff who was with me or just one of the usual people I hang out with at Comic-Con. He looked at me. And he touched the side of his head. And he's like, "How's my hair look?" You know,
nice.
For anyone out there, he's bald. It was just classic. You know, he seemed like a really great guy. Michael Hogan, I think.
He is one actor and character that I just grew to love as that show kept. You know, I mean, the show starts off and they really do a great job of making you dislike him. During different, yeah.
Same as with his wife. You hate.
Oh yeah, wife. Yeah. No. But damn it, if season three, from beginning to end, from the opening season of three to the end of season three, didn't turn his character around to a person that I was just like, I love you.
Yeah.
The beginning of season three of Battlestar Galactica with the resistance bombers and, you know, how entrenched he is and guerrilla warfare. And, you know, he's.
Well, I think he found his worth. You know, he found his purpose, you know, because like exactly you see it in season one, too. He's a drunk. He hates his life because, his wife manipulated him. And that's clearly shown. And I guess he felt lost. You know, he's kind of going through like a midlife crisis. And then exactly with the resistance, you see that like he has his purpose. The same as with the chief. I mean, the chief had always had a purpose, but I met him too, I think once. And he was a nice guy. I'm pretty sure I met him. Yeah.
Well, they really captured lightning in a bottle with that show. And I know that there's been other decent shows on sci-fi, you know, but I don't know if they've ever really kind of reached that same height and you know, I'd love it if listeners would chime in and prove me wrong and say, hey, you missed this.
Yeah, because like sci-fi really shit the bed, I think, because like now today, like they were one of those first non-network shows to have a hit show on cable.
Yeah,
and
we're talking pre-Mad Men.
Yeah, we're talking about all that stuff.
Breaking Bad,
because you have Sopranos, and that's pretty much it. And then, everything else was still on the major 3-4 networks. And yeah, BSG came along because I remember that I would go every Sunday to my sister's house, and that was like what we did. We just watched. Well, it was different at that time, but and we would watch BSG.
Yeah,
and then they I'm sure that there's some big executive up there just kicking himself, you know, going like, you know, we had it right there. We could have done so much. Because I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and talk about a show where, you know, it's somewhere in season four. I think it was the middle of season four when they came back. The second half of season four when they came back. It was so fucking depressing. I mean, talk about slit your wrists. I mean, just depression. And I was so excited for a show to be back. And I was like, oh, man, like, you know, just as depressing as, you know, The Leftovers season one. You know, you're just like, oh, God, what am I doing watching the show? But loving every minute of it, being it back. So. You know, as you do as a fan, you know, when your show's back, you know, you can't help but, you know, be excited. So
what's interesting is people don't realize that, like, now you can go get all of BSG and just watch it back to back. But, you know, season one and season two were split up. You know, they were aired purposely the first half in the summer and the second half in the winter because they didn't want to compete with the networks. And so that's another reason why they got so many viewers, because it was the only thing on at that time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, seasons 3 and 4 were aired like a traditional show and one big thing, because at that point they had enough viewers to.
Yeah, and I think it was on Sundays, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was always on Sundays. That's how I remember, because that was another first probably for its time, because everything up to that point was always on Tuesdays or Thursdays. And to have a Sunday show was really different, too.
Mm-hmm. That's why Sunday drama, you know, because
a Sunday drama. I mean,
yeah.
Because that's what we did. Like I said, I'd go to my sister's house and we'd eat dinner and then watch BSG. It was like, that's what we did on Sundays. And it was nice. But now everything's on Sunday. I mean, I'm sure you remember that too. I mean, everything in the 90s and early 2000s was Thursday night. That's what it was. Like, you watched all the TV on Thursday night. And then now Thursday is like, there's nothing on Thursdays.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not really much that I look forward to. Like, I guess that, you know, that it's like, oh, I got to see it. But of course now, you know, there's so much with streaming or DVR that, you know, it's like, well, I'll catch that later. I mean, even, you know, This Is Us, which my wife and I enjoy watching, you know, we'll record it on Tuesday, but most likely it's not until Thursday night that we usually get to sit down and actually watch the show and watch it together and be like, oh, okay. You know? So I just think it's our streaming culture that we also live in now too. You know, it's like, you know, we'll put on a streaming show on Netflix and it's like you kind of devour a show and either you go through it all at once and you shotgun it like a couple beers, a couple, or you dole it out over the course of like, oh, don't watch this without me. You know, this is our show, you know, and right. You kind of piece it out.
Have you been watching South Park at all?
No, I haven't actually. So the new season?
The new season, yeah. So this has been a recurring thing as well with Red Dead Redemption being released, where like there's so many characters that are playing Red Dead Redemption. So like they'll be making these soliloquies, you know, like, and then, you know, someone will go, "Are you playing Red Dead Redemption?" Yeah. So like, it's like, you're like kids, I know life is hard. Like, one day you're just like moseying along with your horse and you get your butt, and they start piecing it. Like, you playing Red Dead Redemption? Yeah. You know, and then the main guy is like the main cop in the town. Like, he's going through marital problems, and he comes home, he's like, oh no, that bitch isn't doing that. And they'll come home and she's like playing Red Dead. She's like, you started another life without me, didn't you? He's like, yes, I did. You can't just leave me alone. And like, you know, it's so the way that they do it, you can tell it's really about them, but it's also about the game. You know, it's just brilliant.
I unfortunately I don't have Hulu right now, but I know that South Park's on Hulu. So, so for those that don't have cable, you know, it's like you either have to subscribe to Hulu or subscribe to, you know, it's like, I can't wait for Game of Thrones to come back on so I can resubscribe to HBO. I'm kind of saving up my HBO time, you know.
I think they announced April,
April? I'll probably get HBO before then. Maybe through December I might might just break down.
Speaking of Game of Thrones,
for all the book readers out there, released today. Not that anyone can see it. It's not the new book, but it is. It's George R. Martin, Fire and Blood. It's a 900 page. It's going to take me quite a while to read it. No, 706 page history of the Targaryens from the Aegon the Conqueror all the way to their downfall. So I'm looking forward to tearing into that when I can.
Nice.
Yeah. And I mean, he has said that there are Easter eggs, of course, in there. It's going to be up to the reader to decipher, see what's real and what's a red herring. So,
okay. Well, to fill you in on what I'm reading, since we don't have Jack here to make fun of us, I picked up the book, I think it's called Last Shot. And so it's a Han Solo, Lando Calrissian novel, and it's part of the new canon. And when I picked it up, I thought it was going to be somewhat of a prequel or maybe a sequel or somehow tie into the Solo movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think part of it takes place in the past, but I was surprised and pleasantly surprised that a good portion of it, or at least the main part of the plot, actually takes place after Return of the Jedi.
Oh, man, yeah. That'd be nice.
I know. I was reading the back and I was like, oh, I didn't realize this. I would have picked it up sooner. But I got it on paperback and gonna dive into that. So
yeah,
as far as my and you know, as we talked on a recent Owen and Brews, you know, I finished Scoundrels, which was a Han Solo Lando kind of caper story. So you know, I definitely have been kind of devouring the you know, Han Solo Lando kind of stories that are out there.
Yeah, not. I mean, everyone out there, you're getting kind of an Owen and Brew if you've never listened to Owen and Brew. I read an interesting theory though about another reason why The Force Awakens was not that good, and it was, but it was because of just it was all Han centric.
Okay,
nothing else, and that's what it was talking about was that how everything written for Han in that movie is a betrayal of Han's original trilogy arc. And how in the first one, he is a selfish scoundrel guy. And the second one, you see him at least being cooperative with people, you know, working as a team. And then the third one, he's totally, you know, fall in love with Leia. Like they are, he's now a part of the family. He's no longer, he's no longer a loner of character. And then all of a sudden to see him again in The Force Awakens, he is regressed to this former self of him. And the viewers are given nothing as in why he has become this way. And I don't remember it all verbatim, but it was a really compelling just a thought.
I see what you're saying. I guess to take the counter to that is that, and it is more of a depressing viewpoint to take, but is that scoundrels are going to be scoundrels. Like there's, you know, it's like he's
don't hate the player.
Yeah, hate the game, man. He's, you know, he's owing debts, you know, left and right to Kanja Club, and you know, so, I don't know. Maybe there's just something about him that it's interesting. You know, I read the Aftermath trilogy, and part of that deals with was also Han kind of striking out and kind of being there more for Chewbacca. And in some ways, the new canon Solo has Chewie and Solo a little bit more of an equals, unless as, you know, the old Legends canon, Chewie was just kind of his sidekick for life, and that was it.
Right.
And Chewie's kind of just, although you could almost say that Chewie is just arm candy for The Last Jedi, though, too.
That was another point that was made about why is Rey all of a sudden first mate, you know, in A Force Awakens, like whereas Chewie basically has zero character in either one of the movies, and that's kind of sad in a way.
The novelization, and I realize that, you know, it's a cheat to say, well, the novelization, but one of the things I enjoyed about the novelization of The Last Jedi is there's this really, really sweet moment between Chewie and Leia at the very end of the book where or the end of the movie, I should say, where they're in the cockpit together and they fallen into a brace crying together, you know, because they are together kind of crying about not only losing Luke, but also kind of reconciling their loss of Han together. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of sweet. At least how it's written and portrayed in the book, but obviously it's not
you wonder way. If they wrote that in there just because of The Force Awakens, where there was such a huge, that was actually one of the biggest backlashes, was at the end of The Force Awakens, how when you know Han has died, Chewie just walks right by Leia, like, oh, no big deal. And then she embraces she embraces Rey, who she doesn't know at all. And sure. And so it's one, because even J.J. Abrams has said that that's the only thing he really regrets with The Force Awakens, is that he didn't think about that part of it.
I guess, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, we have a year and some change now mm-hmm. to wait out episode 9 and see kind of what course corrections they're going to do and what different directions. Everything that I've been reading, at least by staying spoiler free as much as I can, is kind of saying that it is going to be a, as her daughter has said, a magical, but also Leia's, you know, Carrie Fisher's family has said, a very fitting tribute and end to her story. So mm-hmm. very excited to see what they do. I hope that rings true and they're not just blowing smoke up our ass. So
never know.
Yeah. We never know.
Yeah. Depending on your side of the Last Jedi debate, they've got a lot of ground to cover for sure.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't think anything else.
Well, we kind of talked about novels a little bit, which is obviously something that we probably couldn't have gotten with Jack talking about.
No. You guys read? What?
Why would you do that?
Movies are the new books. We talk about.
I guess we could probably end it there, maybe.
That's just, because I was kind of hoping Chris was going to be here because I wanted to hear his opinion on... Oh, yeah, and I'll talk about this, too. I wanted to hear his opinion on, because I know he watched Bohemian Rhapsody. I wanted to see, I wanted to hear what he thought of the movie. And then I did go see, I'm going to talk about this, too, next week in more depth, if anyone else has seen it. But I saw Green Book, which is a superb film.
Green Book, okay.
Green Book, yeah, it's with Viggo Mortensen. Mm-hmm. And I forget the main actor's name. But it's very Driving Miss Daisy esque, so I don't think it will be nominated for best screenplay or best picture. But it is a great movie. It's the story of a pianist from the north who's classically trained but plays kind of a more popular version of songs that he wrote, and it's a true story. And he chooses to take a tour of the Deep South in 1961 or two. And he hires Viggo's character, who is a bouncer, Italian-connected kind of guy, to drive him because he knows how to handle himself. And it's just a very culture clash, race clash, anything you could think of, and how they adapt and how they learn from each other. And it's a very heartwarming story, and you can see how they're both characters are fish out of water, and it's just it's a good movie. I really found it pleasantly not pleasantly surprising, but like I just found it very fulfilling from the very beginning to the very end. It's very rare for me to actually like a movie all the way through. Because I saw two that day. I saw another one called, which you would probably respect a lot more than me. It's called At Eternity's Gate. And it's with Willem Dafoe.
Oh, yes. About Vincent Van Gogh.
Mm-hmm. Vincent Van Gogh. And I love Van Gogh. And it's not exactly historically correct. Mm-hmm. And I think the director kind of didn't know what he wanted to tell. But it is a good artsy film, you know. And just because it talks about, I mean, it shows his kind of schizophrenia and how he dealt with people and how. It's more of his introspection, I think, of how he didn't know how to deal with his own reality. And it is an interesting film, but it's not a great film. I gave it like a B minus, like worth a watch, but not something you're going to walk away from and be like, damn, that was good.
Is it does it cover his whole life, or is it more kind of towards the end of his life? Is it?
Yeah, it's the last probably 3 years of his life.
Okay.
Basically, when he did most of his works.
Okay.
In the asylum and in and out of the asylum. Yeah.
All right. Ends with him in the cornfields. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you don't see him painting. You see him paint some of his masterpieces. You don't see Starry Night. You don't see you do see the Sunflowers, but you don't see him paint it. But you see other ones that are really
okay.
Other ones that I like, Lilies and Loving the Lilacs or whatever one that was, or Roots, different ones, you know. But they're yeah, I like
The irises. I think
irises. That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's different ones, yeah. And you see his briefly his relationship with I forget his name now. He's played by Poe, Oscar Isaac.
Oh, okay.
I always want to say Monet, even though it's not Monet. It's the one that sounds similar to it.
Manet?
No, but, no. It's another one of those post.
Cezanne?
No.
No. Okay.
But he. Because, like, in history, the way I always read it is he cut off his ear because he was going through a fit of madness while they were there together, you know, and, like, but in the movie, he cuts it off after he'd already left as a way of saying, like, don't forget me, you know? And so it's like, okay, like, I mean.
Don't you forget
about me. Here's my ear. But, yeah, I mean, it's worth a watch.
Okay. I definitely was. It was on my radar as far as movies that were out there, and I knew the Van Gogh connection. So, seen some articles about it, but look forward to seeing that as well. So,
yeah, it made me want to go to the because the Getty here in LA, I know, has one Van Gogh.
Because
I think it's the only one that's in Los Angeles County. So, I thought about it. I was like, oh, I should go because I haven't been to the Getty since I first moved here.
Oh, okay.
And because Starry Night's in the Met, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
a lot smaller than what you'd think, you know, because I think most people, you know, like they see it on a poster and they expect it to be a little bit bigger. And then when you see it, you're like, oh, it's not as big as what I thought it would be.
Right.
So, and they also have it behind glass, which I think, I mean, I understand why, but sometimes it can kind of take away from, I think, just the visual tactile experience of seeing a painting like that. So
absolutely. I mean, it's the same, like, I think that's what most people think about when they see the Mona Lisa as well. It's extremely small and you've seen it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the world's most famous painting. And you're just like,
I could be wrong. You know, sue me if I'm wrong on that. But I believe that the Starry Night is behind glass. You know, I've seen some of Monet's pieces and it's like, not behind glass and you know, I've gotten up real close to them where you can actually see like pieces of you know, plant material, you know, that like you know, that flew into it, or you know, you can almost just see like hair still in the paint itself.
And I think it depends on the kind of place you're at, because exactly like LACMA with LA County Museum of Art, they have I think 6 Monets and probably 12 Picassos and like just tons and tons of art, and none of them are behind glass. And you can, if really were just dumb, you can walk right up and just punch a hole through them if you wanted to.
Oh, geez, yeah.
But it's just it's incredible faith in people, because you paid to get in there, so you'd like to think that you have enough sense not to do those things.
Which, don't even get me started, man.
Because LACMA has lily pads of Monet, which is one of the most famous ones. And there's a couple other ones that I'd seen, but they're not as well known.
A lot of those lily pad ones that he did were really large too, you know, and he was going blind. So at that period in his life. So, you know, I mean, he could see, but you know, it was very, very distorted and very dim. So it's kind of like Beethoven going deaf in his last part of his life.
Right.
So, well, now that we talked about a little bit of culture,
yeah. People are like, who are diehard Ramblecast. People are like, what the fuck are these people talking about? Talking about like, art and
why aren't they cussing more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh shit.
No! Oh, he's back. Jack's back. 28 minutes.
I feel like it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, like, yeah, it is like Ferris Bueller's.
Go home.
Yeah, we were about ready to finish it up. You know,
I heard you were talking crap about me.
No, yeah, well, that's always Jack.
Well, you're talking about arts and culture, and we just
we talked about some books, yeah, and some art pieces, and we're like, this is what Jack loves to talk about.
So this is the part where people go, fuck it, just go back to the Ramblecast.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were thinking. Mm-hmm. Well, now that you're back, you can close out the show properly, Jack.
So you haven't done anything yet?
No, we were just winding down now.
Yeah, we were. We had kind of talking, like Nick said, books, art, culture, a couple movies.
What kind of movies? So. What movies?
Okay. so.
Well, he was saving his Bohemian Rhapsody talk for Chris.
Right? Okay. But I was saying I saw two films this on Sunday. The first, well,
both on Sunday.
Yeah, I did back to back because the ArcLight is one of those theaters that once you're in, you're kind of in. And I cheated and just walked into another theater after the first one was done.
Did you cut? Did you?
I cut. Yeah, and it was one of those where you're kind of sweating because the lights weren't down yet, and I'm sitting there, but LA is one of those kind of places that you get the seat. You can when you buy the ticket, you're like, I want I-22. Wow. Yeah. So I didn't sit down until the lights dimmed, and I knew most people were already in their seats. And then I kind of like walked over and then.
What if you got one of those late? Because Los Angeles, they always arrive late. What if you got one of those laggers that came in?
Well, that's also one of the brilliant things about the ArcLight is that you cannot buy a ticket to the movie as soon as the time hits. So if it's a 7 o'clock show, you cannot buy a ticket after 7 o'clock.
No, but I'm not saying buy a ticket. But you bought the ticket, but you show up late.
Oh.
You know how people in LA are.
I don't think they let you in. ArcLight's really interesting. It's really strict.
Yeah, except, of course, from cutting in on other movies.
Yeah.
Well, I can't criticize you because when I was younger, a kid, we used to have the multiplex theaters, and I'd see like four or five movies a day.
Yeah, well, I mean, in my opinion – L.A. is so damn expensive anyway. I already paid $18.
It's okay to steal.
Yeah, I paid $18 for one film, and I paid $7 for a bucket of popcorn and then $6 for a Coke. So in my opinion, I paid plenty to go to that movie.
You know what? The housing is so expensive there that I think groceries should just be free.
They should be.
Because
I'm really just trying to stay away from all of the smoke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But he was in... Downtown, where there's
downtown, yeah,
you can't tell, it's so smoggy.
Yeah, we don't trust air we can't see, so
your air's gotten better though, hasn't it?
It's extremely better, yeah, than it was.
It's a light shade of gray,
yes. But the movie I recommended, Jack, was called Green Book.
Green Book,
it's a very good movie. It's I was saying to Matt, it's very Driving Miss Daisy esque.
So it has Dan Aykroyd in it.
No, it's Viggo.
Well, but Viggo
Morgan Freeman.
Viggo Mortensen is the.
It's Daisy.
No, he's the Morgan
he's the
Freeman
driver.
Character. He's a Morgan Freeman character. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's two fish out of waters, culturally and education and everything, and it's a good movie. I really liked it. And then the other one. We were talking about, because Matt is such an art guy, is another one I saw called At Eternity's Gate, which is about Vincent Van Gogh, and it's a decent film. It's not a great film, but it's a decent film.
Okay, which one did you pay for?
I actually didn't pay for either. So what I did, because I, being a very typical LA person, I took the subway and I got the show started at 11:45. I got in the morning, and I got there at 11:50.
You didn't have church?
That is my church. So I got there at 11:50. They wouldn't let me buy the ticket for at Eternity's Gate. So I went to – they have automatic machines. So the next showing was at noon for Harry Potter, the new Harry Potter. It was not Harry Potter. It's just whatever they're called.
Fantastic Beasts.
So I bought a ticket for Fantastic Beast and then walked into at Eternity's Gate, and then I walked into Green Book.
Harry Potter lit the toilet seat. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, he does it with the wand though. Instead of the foot, he just takes the wand and lifts it.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense. Probably like Expelios. I don't know what it is.
Can't fix his eyesight, but he can lift the toilet seat. Okay, good deal.
Octio Repero.
Hey, do you have a drawing for anybody? Because we had an email, Matt.
Oh, for Maggie.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maggie already got a drawing. She's going to have a whole set.
She's the only email we got.
Did she get a drawing already? I didn't know if Maggie got a drawing.
Are you tapping on the keyboard there, Jack?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have this thing that keeps the thing cool and has holes in it, and I'm just playing with it. Sorry.
I mean, I did do some drawings tonight.
Well, that's cool. I like that.
As well as this is what I always doodle. I just doodle circles. It is kind of my go-to.
I like the ice thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah.
So
the eyes have it.
Not only does Maggie get a drawing, she gets a stamp of her choice.
I want the original Elvis stamp.
Do not have that. No. Mm-mm. And we're all out of magic stamps too. So.
Magic stamps.
Yeah. The art of the magic. So,
okay.
Just use the last one today. Definitely. I like to put them on the bills that I send out because I'm like, ooh, some magic. Maybe we'll get some money. So, anyway.
You know what I do? Instead of using stamps, I just go, it's paid online.
No, these are bills that I send to other companies lots of money.
You can't send them? You can't email them?
I do, but, you know, every now and then you have billing departments that actually don't listen to that, but you know what they do listen to? A piece of mail that arrives in the post office.
You put like a serious looking stamp on there? Like, do they have stamps like a jailbird type thing? Like that?
We actually had some shark stamps, which was really handy because the name of our company, and so I thought it was really funny to put shark stamps on there because I was like, yeah, sharks in the water. So
aren't you dolphin paper?
Dolphin papers, yeah. So,
are dolphins and shark in the same family? Are they?
No, I just thought it was kind of, you know, they're in the ocean. So
you should send them like a cheese powdered.
Well, smear. If Maggie wakes long enough, yeah, she'll get cheese powder all over her envelope. I'll make sure.
That could be some art. You just take the cheese.
That's exactly what I was about to say, Jack. Is that you could do your circles, like your circles there with all the colors. Take the cheese, smear it across. You'd be the next Jackson Pollock. I'm telling you.
Yes. Like you just, you know. Jackson Pollock of cheese and circles.
Now, circles, yeah. Unfortunately, for it to be worth anything, we'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
Right? This circle one has a bonus eye. So, yeah. But, anyway,
we'll let Maggie decide. That's it. That's all I got. You guys.
We talked for a while. Yeah. We had a good.
Was the drive good, Jack?
It was a straight shot, no traffic.
Excellent.
Picked her up, came back. I said, she goes, well, you can probably go back. I go, no, thank you.
Did the cat eat some cheese?
Yeah, that's an old drawing. I love this drawing though.
Did it poop cheese? That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It peed itself. It can't make it to the litter box or the cat dish.
Well, you need to stop feeding it so much.
So anyway, sorry. I'll stop sharing drawings. But anyway, for those that are wondering, I showed a drawing of a very, very obese cat. They cannot make it to its cat food dish.
It's probably rolling to this cat food. Why? You probably like it because it can't attack you, can it?
Yeah.
Stop rolling on my ankle. Anyway, hopefully next week we're going to try and do a live one. I'm not sure what date because this has been the last 3 weeks has been kind of hard getting involved, all of us together. So
and we're all hoping that Chris is going to make it back for the next show. So we're hoping that he's in his house.
I really feel bad.
Mm-hmm. But you realize though, the first episode that Chris is back, none of us, all three of us, not going to get a word in. It's just going to be like an hour of just Chris just
complaining about his house.
Nick, hold on, Nick.
And I'll say. He goes, what do you mean Matt took cuts? Ah!
Stay tuned for Cotton Talk with Nick, Chris next week. So,
anyway.
Well, thanks for joining us, though. So,
where can people buy their rakes?
I'm surprised there's any left. Find them.
I know. Finland has used most of them already. But you can also buy some Roombas.
Those bastards.
Yeah. You could also buy some Roombas to help clean up the forest. That's what we do here in the Hoosier State.
I read something today that Finland doesn't have to worry about they don't have to worry about any wildfires like we're having here until 2100, like 100 yeah. years from now. I'm like going
9 o'clock. Huh.
Well, they also do have private email servers there, so they're pretty covered. But if you do need a private email server, or if you need a rake, you can get that on Amazon.
Jane and Jack / Amazon.
Oh,
is it a certain rake? Can it be any?
Thanks,
rake?
Sherry. I remember it. She messaged that. You guys always say it wrong. Like, okay.
Well, yeah. To That's be honest, true. I always do go to jayandjack.com and click on the link there. So
I just save it, and it's automatically there when I go buy it.
But a little bit helps us all, and there is a lot of Christmas shopping to be done.
Would you rather have a rake or cheese curls?
Cheese curls.
Cheese curls, by far.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't they pour
cheese? A rake will never bring you happiness. It might save your home from a fire, but it will never bring you happiness.
But cheese curls with the cheese dust – couldn't they crunch it all up and then, you know, what are the stuff that those planes are dropping?
That's what it is, yeah.
It's fire retardant.
Yeah, here you go. Cheese dust. And it's like
it's all chemicals. You know,
it's like, I don't care about your $5 million home. I want the cheese dust. That's what
it is. Why do you think Trump is orange? He just
Mind blown now.
Donald, so. I told you can't wipe your hands on your face when you eat the cheese curls. Donald, pay attention.
It's the best cheese stuff, believe me.
You got to get me more Planters cheese. They're the greatest. Greatest of all time.
I brought them back under my presidency. Planters cheese curls.
They're great. Back. You're great. I'm great. But nothing's great as these. Yeah. Anyway. So you can go to – also, you can become a patron.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Let's go to JJ. Go to jayandjack.com, click on the little button that says want to become a patron? Yes, I want to become a patron. Click on the little button that says become a patron, and you get to listen to quality shows like this where we talk about poop, cheese balls, rakes.
At the $5 level, you get an extra podcast every month at the patron's choice. So, and there's a November one that's coming up very soon. At the $1 level, you get to join us in for the live show. So.
Yeah. And you can talk to, well, you can chat with us in the chat and just say, hey, what's going on?
Why the fuck are you doing this show?
And next week might be fun because we're going to have Chris. And he might be angry.
Might be.
You like it when he's angry.
He turns orange.
Anyway, this time we'll thank five patrons. With Tack from Tokyo, Edgar Richter-Glaffler, Maggie the Magnificent, who's getting a drawing and a special stamp. Joanne with a plan and Ed, the letter carrier. Sorry if I picked on your postal service there for a while. And also, sitting out here and find time to do the final Dancing with the Stars. And I don't – let me just say, what a joke. Anyway, that's all I got.
The final, as in like the final episode or the final one?
The final episode of the season. A guy that, a likable guy, but the guy that won, literally, nobody should be winning that I could dance, I could compete with them dancing wise. That I could personally compete with. Mm.
So he doesn't get a great show, kids. That's one in a million.
Oh, he won. I mean, there's nothing, but it's a popularity contest.
Okay. Oh.
He won, but it's just like, I guess he's the biggest country music DJ or something like that.
He's not even an artist. He's a DJ.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, his partner is Sharna. She's been in the finals a couple times. She deserved to win. But anyway, I'll talk about that more on Dancing with the Stars.
Hasta luego and goodbye.
Great show, kids. One in a million. That's Jay saying. You're stealing Jay saying.
What?
Hasta luego. Yeah, hasta luego.
I don't know what it is.
Hasta luego.
Bye.